Welcome to Boxes and Lines, a different kind of finance podcast from a different kind of stock exchange, featuring IEX founder Ronan Ryan and Chief Market Policy Officer John Ramsey. Now here to give you the straight talk on how the markets really work, it's Ronan and JR.
Welcome everybody to a very, very special edition of Boxes and Lines.
Boxes and Lines.
This episode is a milestone for us, JR. This is our entry to the Century Club. It's our 100th episode.
Jesus H. Yeah.
We've recorded 99 of these.
I can't believe that I feel so old. I feel every single one of them.
I can barely stand the sight of you, but welcome to the 100th.
And that's not true.
Our first episode debuted.
Sorry. Debuted?
How they say it in Belgium. Our first episode.
Oh my God, man, have you been drinking?
Went out in September 2019. And joining us to mark this special occasion is a very special fellow IEXer, Maria Zivanovich Smith. IEXer's very own Chief Marketing and Communications Officer. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you for having me, Ronan and JR. I thought it was very important to add a third accent to the show.
Very elegant, very elegant accent.
He's going to try and copy it and do a shit job of it soon. Probably an offensive job, don't.
Okay.
So Maria, please tell us how this episode will work. There's some sort of surprise coming here, JR. What should we expect?
That's right, Ronan. Today, we're going to do something a little different than usual. We had our producers, Elizabeth and Daisy, and the original producer, Sarah, the OG, dig through the archives, and they selected some very memorable clips over the last 5 years from the 99 episodes we've had. So here's what we're going to do. You'll be hearing these clips for the first time, and we want your live reactions. How's that?
Do we have any choice? Is there a choice B?
Actually, it doesn't matter what you guys think, because this is what we prepared. So,
Boxes and Liners, you're going to soon realize that this is a surprise to us.
Completely unscripted. As opposed to most of our, because I think we study for hours in advance, and I think it clearly shows. But this one is unscripted.
Unbelievable prep, yes. So before we dive into the clips, let's take a quick moment to look back.
You complete me, John Ramsey.
My goodness. We're going to take a quick moment to look back on the past few years of Boxes and Lines and how the show has evolved. When the show started back in 2019, I want to ask you a question first. What were your hopes? What did you want to accomplish?
Ronan can go first because I'm not sure that I had any hopes. It just felt like a complete crapshoot.
And I wished our previous CMO would leave us the fuck alone and stop asking us to do it.
I was hoping to have a few yucks. Yeah. And maybe somebody would think it was funny, and then maybe we would do like three of these, and that would be it.
Our first podcast was with an iPhone, and just we put on like the recording. There was no mics or nothing special to it, and it was just sort of on a whim because JR and I joke on the desk all the time.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like, oh, fine, we'll do it. And then we actually had a lot of fun doing it.
And then you gave me shite about like clicking my pen or something like about background noise.
Yeah, that's true.
So we had to.
I only pick on you because I love you.
Professional over time.
Well, speaking of joking, you guys are very unique, and I want to start there before we play the first clip. You bring a great sense of humor to the show. You know how to add levity to very boring topics, I might say.
I don't want to drink because I'm going to spit.
And you know how to talk about serious topics without taking yourself too seriously, which is very rare. And now you've become a go-to resource for traders, asset managers, and anyone interested in the inner workings of the micro market structure with 188,000 listeners to date, which is great. Congratulations to both of you. Are you ready to hear your first clip?
Yes.
Absolutely. I guess, again, do we have a choice? If not, then let her rip.
All right, here it is. This is from your third ever episode, which was published in November of 2019 with Virtu CEO Doug Cifu. We thought we'd start with this one because this was your first guest.
Dougie Large.
Yep.
Dougie Large.
But what really stuck out to us when we listened to this episode, it was the introduction. Let's listen.
Welcome everybody to Boxes and Lines. This is podcast number 3, or as my Irish brethren would say, 3. And we have John Ramsey here, as always. John?
Hello, thank you. I'm trying to sound less tinny. The first one running said that I sounded tinny, so I'm trying to lower my voice.
He got a lot of feedback that he needs to speak up. Mm-hmm. And then we have an esteemed guest here, Doug Sifu, the CEO of Virtu Financial.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
AKA Dougie Large in Twitterverse. And he said he'd explain to the entire industry now.
I'm a transparent guy. I believe in transparency.
Is that it?
That's it. What do you think?
What's their reaction?
I actually did not know that he was called Dougie Large, and I was afraid that he was going to punch us or something because he was.
No,
like,
you thought we were making
fun
of him? No, that was his Twitter handle. Is that what they called him?
I figured that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so.
I think you sound tinny, even though you said you didn't want to sound tinny.
I did not sound tinny.
We talked about our third episode like it was the 100th.
The sound production was not what it is now. Now we have very professional, including Jake, our professional sound man, who, you know, we accuse of being a stoner, but just we don't have any reason to actually think that. We just think that it's kind of a funny thing to accuse him of.
Reaction, it was a pretty good first guest.
It was, actually. He was a very good sport. We recorded it
in my office, like with a fucking iPhone right?
Again, it was very low tech. Yeah. He was a really good sport. You know, we don't always see eye to eye with Virtu on some topics, but he was very easy to talk to, a lot of fun, and a great guest.
Other than the sound, which sounds like you guys were at the bottom of a well.
He said you were a tool.
Or a microwave.
Not.
Or inside a microwave. Yeah. What stood out to me about that episode was that Doug reveals that he was a fashion lawyer. Do you remember that? Before he went to Virtu.
Yeah.
And he worked with a streetwear designer named Carl Kanai. And that at one point he met Tupac. Who knew?
Interesting. Doesn't really show that based on the way he dresses now, but I'm just kidding.
No, seriously, it doesn't show.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doug.
All right, great start. Let's move on. Clip two. We're going to move on to our second clip. And as we reflect on progress in producing the show and learning as we go, we could not overlook the famous recording pod.
Oh, boy.
Also known as the Sweat Lodge.
The Sweat Lodge. Oh, my God.
This was actually a glass pod, 6 foot wide and 12 feet high, and it was not meant to have more than two people inside. However, in our next clip, you'll notice the episode was called What the Buy Side Really Wants. It was published in December 2019. We actually had four people inside. J.R. Ronan, Richard Johnson from the Greenwich Associates, and our IEX Chief Strategy Officer, Eric Stockland. It was super hot inside, I was told. And so let's listen what happens when JR tries to ask a very intelligent question.
What do you mean by interval VWA? Just for those who are not among the market structure cognoscenti. Yeah.
Before you answer that question, Eric, I just want to point out to our listeners out there that I hope you're enjoying the sound quality of this, because the next podcast, I'm going to record it in my swimming trunks. It's a fucking sauna at this place, I have to say.
It is.
I want to come into the next podcast.
Sorry, what was the stupid question you were asking, John Ramsey?
That was great. I think we have since donated the pod to the CIA for use in interrogating terrorist suspects. But it was crazy.
I still shudder when I walk by that thing as to the treatment. they do that to prisoners in like the old war movies.
It was crazy. And you recall that Eric Stockland, one of our guests earlier, he like at one point he wrote "Help me" like in reverse letters through the
condensation on the Yeah, well, we were trying to make the sound quality so good that they had these fans on the top of the roof of this little TARDIS, and it's supposed to pull the air out and make it cool.
Yeah.
But someone thought it'd be smart to like jam it with foam so that the sound quality would be good. It wasn't
either that
it
was, or they were just very sadistic.
We did a few podcasts in
we
that.
We did a number more than I can imagine we put up with it because it was brutal.
Who knew pre-COVID that sweating on top of your coworkers was bad?
You got to go to great lengths to defend your
It was
art.
Intimate steam room sauna combination pod. Yeah.
Well, another interesting point about that one is that at the beginning of the episode, Ronan, you made JR explain why we purchased the pod. Do you remember that?
Holy shit, no, I've not.
Yeah, well, it was apparently because JR used to click with his pen.
Oh, the pen. The really thing. So you thought I'd like take away any tools from me to disrupt it?
I'd like it lucky on the pod now. Hold on, everybody. We're just going to go throw him in the pod.
You're so abusive. He really is. I mean,
that's not abuse.
Yeah.
People can look at you and go like, that's okay. The original boxes in line.
All right, we're not going to do that. We're going to move on to the third clip.
Okay.
But that last clip was right before the pandemic. And thankfully so, that's a good thing because there was no way it would be a Petri dish, right?
After I never wore my swimming trunks in podcast.
Yes, thank God.
So let's now actually play a clip from your first ever episode recording remotely from your homes. Right as the world started to shut down during the first wave.
This very interesting.
This is from an episode called Uncharted Territory, published in March of 2020.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of Boxes and Lines.
Boxes and Lines.
You did the shit accent that far back.
And we're actually not in our podcast booth today. Today is Tuesday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Ireland.
And, you know, we try to bring a little levity when we talk about market structure. But unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world and U.S., and it has us working from home today. So today, I am in Morristown, New Jersey, and my lovely friend John Ramsey is...
I am in Quogue, New York. So we
How do you spell Quogue, John?
You spell Quogue, Q-U-O-G-U-E.
Very good. So you're staying safe, you're staying stocked up, but you just couldn't get away from me.
Couldn't get away from you as far as and hard as I try. I can't quit you, man.
I can't quit you. Yeah. Now, I'm not drinking a liquidity beer, which is our normal tradition, because I don't have any in my house. But I am having a nice Danish lager called Carlsberg, which happens to be my favorite beer.
It's true. The beer part.
For sure.
So this was March 17, 2020, if you remember.
Yeah.
This is when
crazy time
realized.
When, and you said we still thought we'd be out for a couple of weeks. And of course, it was, I think 6 months.
We had only gone home like a week or so before that, right?
Yeah. And March the 13th, I remember.
Why we felt the need to record a podcast so quickly thereafter. But I'll tell you a story. They asked us to get a mic. I think it was our OG Sarah said, go get a Yeti thing. And I remember going online to Best Buy, and I drove up to this like massive New Jersey, which were known for strip malls. And I had to park the car, text that I was there. This guy came out dressed in like a fucking beekeeper suit, put the thing in the trunk, walked away. Like I had to get out, spin three times. Just to get this little mic and then go home to talk to John Ramsey in a town in Long Island that no matter how many times I ask him to spell it, I couldn't fucking, other than Q.
It's not that difficult, actually.
It's a silly Quag. Name. It kind of is.
No, it's not. There's also Quiag, which is right next to it, which is...
equally silly.
Maybe.
But speaking of a great Danish lager, Carlsberg, I am now drinking our very own beer, IEX Liquidity Lit.
Which is a Kölsch. See?
And were you able to get it delivered to your house during the pandemic?
No, because seemingly you can get like wine and alcohol, but you can't have beer. There's some weird Bible laws that you can't have beer delivered in New Jersey without some special distribution
But
thing.
Ronan will deliver it to you in the trunk of his car if you ask for it in advance.
I'm a modern-day bootlegger.
Yeah, he's basically Rome's northern New Jersey delivering.
But that was crazy. That was like the second week of the real lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And you listeners out there should be thankful how much we care about you to bring you weird market structure content in that
world. in the midst of Armageddon. Absolutely.
There you go.
We're unfazed.
God bless us, John. God bless us.
The service that we provide to the community is unmatched.
You'd imagine one of you 188,000 listeners would sponsor us in some way, size, shape, or form.
I mean, like, get on the stick.
Yeah.
We have an idea for that.
Carlsberg.
We haven't heard any bad language so far, though. So I think maybe that's coming up.
So moving on to the clip four, you took advantage of the isolation and you decided to have a guest on who was extremely elusive at the time. So elusive, in fact, that we had to agree to have his voice changed by our producers.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
This is the man behind Litquidity, to be mixed with our beer. Mm.
That's right.
And Litquidity. He was at that time, not anymore, anonymous.
Oh, yeah. He's now known.
Now we know who he is. I can't remember who he is, but he's
now Hank Medina.
Oh, wow.
He's a 34-year-old ex-investment banker.
Litquidity is a better name.
But he's a meme lord.
Sorry, Hank, but in fairness, am I wrong?
All right. Yeah.
Hey, we can joke. The man had 2.2 million followers and monetization.
Hank had a great name.
And on Instagram and Twitter, and all that while keeping his identity secret. Let's listen to that podcast.
We will call him Lit today. He's actually a finance professional, so
his voice will be changed. And we don't have a picture of him, and nor will we mention his name. But I wanted to welcome him to the podcast. And he's ultra famous in the world of Instagram. And he's actually getting blown by a storm right now as we speak, because he's hiding out. But Liv, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Apologies for the wind here. I'm out on my yacht, enjoying isolation.
That's great. Was that? It was his.
I did not recall that. That's crazy.
But I thought we altered his voice. He sounded like those. Like,
didn't sound like very altered.
Yeah, he sounded very like Hank Medina to me. There.
Maybe we blew his cover. Maybe he had to. Yeah. Maybe he had to come.
He came out because of us.
Well,
of us.
Believe it or not, magically, shortly after the podcast, he left his big bank job and went full time into liquidity. Not sure what you guys said.
We have to come in back, have him back now. As it, I don't know, maybe there's no mystery left, but I still think you'd be kind of.
I remember it being a good one.
Yeah.
Ronan, is it that windy on your yacht too?
Always. Well, I take it indoors. I'm a professional podcaster. Come on, Hank. Mm. Get in the fucking game.
He won't even invite me on his yacht.
No, all right. Well, we're going to call him back. Mm. That's a great idea, JR.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only guest. Liquidity wasn't the only guest that asked us to change something about the production. We had other guests who requested special edits to our episode. In this case, we were asked to censor Ronan's famous spicy language. This episode's called Hot Button Trading Topics from July 2020, and it's with guests from UBS and Raymond James. Let's see why these guests requested censorship.
400 nanoseconds, which those of you listening again, you always, God bless you if you're not in the industry, that's 400 billionths of a second. We have a question we ask, so you probably have heard it before.
But oh, well, we're doing that already. We haven't even gotten into the sips. We haven't talked about sip reform.
Listen, guys, you guys have been great guests. We would have you back on because John Ramsey wants to talk about 10 other market structure topics to bore the shit out of everybody. But no, we appreciate it. Maybe next time we'll do it in the IEX office, in our little IEX sweat booth with some liquidity beer.
And yeah, we'll give you a pair of socks, too.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Oh. I remember when they asked to edit it out, I was like, that's so lame. But Jesus Christ, the beats are better.
It was brilliant. It came out so well. We thought they were such ninnies when they
I'll give you a pair of beeping socks. That was fucking priceless. Yeah.
Ronan, to add to that, I don't know if you know, but in 2023, on air alone, we counted 127 spicy words by
really?
Ronan.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Well, there you go. Well, my standards have definitely deteriorated over time because of it.
You know what's sad? I'm actually trying not to.
Well,
the fucking socks was good though, Jared. Yeah. That was the best beep of the day. Yeah.
Well, now that Ronan's in the hot seat a bit, we're going to keep going. Let's play a clip from an episode that has become Boxes and Lines legend, at least for the production team. It's from August 22 with Rich Council, CEO of Stable.
Oh, priceless.
In this episode, Ronan calls Rich Eric multiple times in the interview. Let's listen.
Eric, welcome aboard. You'll notice we have these tangential arguments at times. Just ignore it.
I'll sit back and enjoy the ride.
So Eric's an interesting one. I told him I was going to make a little fun of him. I did the commensurate Google creep on him before this podcast and noticed that he grew up on a farm and then moved to Chicago to work in trading and technology. So I assumed I was meeting a Midwestern boy. And as Eric talks, you'll learn that you can grow up on a farm outside of Chicago and not actually be in commuting distance to Chicago, funny enough.
You can also be called Rich instead of Eric.
Did I call you Eric?
You have, and I kept thinking, did he?
You know, I have.
Am I confused about what his name is?
Dude, this is the first time a guest haggled me in his first line. This is epic.
I can't just call that. I know I'm supposed to be a polite Englishman. Some stuff that's this line.
If you went 30 minutes with the wrong name, holy fuck! And you know, this is why I should have my reading glasses on. Everyone, I'd like to welcome our special guest today, Rich Council, founder and CEO of Stable. Welcome, Rich.
I am delighted to be here, Derek.
Is your middle name Eric by any chance?
There is no connection to Eric whatsoever.
Can you consider changing your name to Eric?
That's great. Yeah. And I love that it was all like followed by you saying that you've done all this research online.
I haven't heard that before. I did my Google creep. Well, if I Googled Eric Council, I would not have in fact found the British farm boy that I found. He was brilliant. He was one of my favorite guests because he just let me say it so many times. He reeled me in and then smacked me.
He just smacked you with perfect timing and it was priceless.
You know what was funny? If you guys go back and listen to that one later in the podcast, he'd answer something and then I asked him, what would Eric say? And then what he answered Eric it differently. It was that was so funny.
It was awesome. I mean, on the substance, he was a really good guest too. It was very interesting.
He kind of looked like an Eric though, in fairness. Yeah. It's like this Hank guy. Parents need to name themselves properly.
Yeah, no. There's no getting out of that.
My favorite part is your middle name, Eric.
Would you consider going by your...
Wonderful.
He was great.
You actually introduced him as Rich at the top of the episode and then switched to Eric.
Really?
Which is even funnier.
I have no idea why. Mm. I think I had Rich Council written in big fucking writing. Sorry. Beep and writing.
All right. Well, that's enough for Ronan in the hot seat. JR, it's your turn.
No. You
ready?
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Guys, he's shaking.
Part of what we love about the show and what listeners really love about the show is the banter between the two of you. And JR, you've been known to ask a few extensive questions here and there from time to time. Maybe mention long-winded. And then maybe mention your time at the SEC here and there, which Ronan loves to hear. This is his favorite thing to hear. Here's a montage of that.
I've been doing this for some time.
There'll be a question at some point, I promise.
Give me a chance. I'm forming the question.
He's warming up, listeners.
It's going to be a gem.
Yes.
When it's done, it's going to be a gem.
I want to know what John's sense of the industry is instead of it carries our own.
Yeah. No. But there
like
was
when a... I was a young lad.
Okay, sorry, John. Over to you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Do you want to ask your question? I thought it was a very good question and timely.
Well, oh, no, I was going to ask a different question.
Okay, ask your different question. Ask it in under 30 seconds, please.
So, what are your thoughts about that?
Maybe you could shorten it by half. That's Amy had to go to her next meeting. You know, it's fucking 2 o'clock.
The SEC has, within the last year, I think, taken action. And I know because I keep up with these things.
Former regulator. Here we go.
I used to be. I don't know if you know Mike. I did have a senior.
Much like his shit Irish accent, this comes up in everyone.
Yeah. I will say, as an ex-regulator, and I don't know if you know this one, but I was a senior regulator at the SEC.
It is a record.
We're 12 minutes into this in the AI.
I can't believe you don't have him on the SBA. Do you know who's gracing us with his appearance here?
Ronan, for example, has no idea about my background. I mean, still, acts like he has no clue. You talk about it every time we do a podcast.
Okay, well, so the whole world knows what you've done.
All right.
Anyway. You're a walking resume.
Okay. All right.
I love you, John.
If something doesn't work, like don't fight a bad position, punt it and get out and move on. You know.
Good words of advice.
Very words to the wise.
Did you notice that? I thought there was some narcolepsy there. I lost the thread.
All right, we're gonna edit that out.
I'm sorry, Boxer and Lander. I thought I was gonna have to go administer CPR. That he choked on his thoughts.
Yeah, you gotta get a cattle prod on the seats.
Holy shit! We're pretty fucking talented people. That was ridiculous. And I apologize for being mean to you, John.
Oh, right.
But that was great. You do ask long questions, but that was brilliant.
But they're, you know, the longer, the more interesting and the more incisive, the more informative they are. I think people learn a lot just by the questions. Sometimes.
Words to the... Guys, he's not moving.
He hasn't moved in the last two minutes.
That one was funny.
No, I'm not joking. No, he's not moving.
We're like, clear. He was saying words to the, and he was supposed to say wise, and he just paused
for literally 10 seconds.
And then he said wise.
And every time we say we're going to cut it out, we never do. So, all right, fine. All right. Whatever. I don't care.
Okay, moving on to the next clip.
That was good.
It was. Let's look at the next clip. This is what I really love about the show, too, is that you guys bring our own brilliant staff to the show. So past and present, you've had IEXers and alumni join you, from Eric Stack Quinlan to Ramon Gonzalez to Daniel, is it Eisen?
Aizen. A.K.A. Puzz.
Aizen.
Yeah. CEO of Proof Trading. Proof
Trading. No, his name is pronounced
Aizen.
Aizen?
Yeah.
Huh.
Aizen. Okay.
Oh, I always call him Eric.
Well, I get fucking freaked out. Yeah.
Just call him Eric.
When people call him Daniel, I have no idea who the hell he is. I'm like, oh, Puzz. Okay. Yeah.
And Allison Bishop.
Right. Eric, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so last year we had our awesome interns join us, which turned out to be a very sweet episode.
That was great.
An illuminating episode about Gen Z and what they're looking for in the workplace.
All three of them dropped out of college.
No, they did not. They're awesome. And here we're going to look at a clip from Annabelle Norton, which is one of our interns. And naturally, this turns into some paycheck conversation, too.
What is Gen Z looking for most in their first job?
That is a good question. I think the main thing that comes to mind, I know in the question it asks, like, are we looking for a paycheck, self-fulfillment, insurance? And I would say, just based on conversations with my peers, it's kind of a little mix of everything, but I think we struggle to find it all in like the same place.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of what I was told, like growing up, whether it be like from parents or advisors or mentors, to just pursue the paycheck. And if you're passionate about something, but it's not going to make you money, kind of maybe deprioritize that. But I think that it should kind of be reprioritized, and you can focus on bringing that to work, or pursuing your passion outside of work. I think that's something that we don't really talk a lot about.
That's true. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you'll know what John Ramsey comes to work for. He brings up his paycheck every fucking 5 minutes.
I'll tell you what I'm looking for is just one crumb of fucking respect and acknowledgement from the boss. That's what
I'm interns here.
Oh, sorry. But please, forgive me.
I give you so much respect.
Yeah.
Well,
great example.
One, I was floored by how intelligent these kids are.
They were fun. They were cool. They were very cool. Yes, I just hearing them gave me some measure of hope for the new generation, and I hope that we didn't discourage them from any further career in financial services.
I can't imagine how I would have answered that question, Ronan, back in college.
No, I can't either. I doubt that you would have been nearly as articulate, for sure.
Not at all. And they're like 20 going on 40.
Very, very good.
And let's give a shout out to Tess Abraham, who also guest produced the episode last year called Girls Who Invest. You guys did phenomenal in that episode as well. We're not going to play a clip from that.
Just a
shout out.
Go invest.
Yes. Moving on, when we started Boxes and Lines, our understanding of artificial intelligence was probably less limited than it is now, almost non-existent maybe. Now we have it powering so many sectors and work streams, and very often you ask your guests about it. So I wanted to play a clip from January of this year with Shelley Ellaby, Managing Director and Head of Marketing for Electronic Trading at BMO Capital Markets. She was just an awesome guest, and she shares really refreshing thoughts about AI. Let's listen to it.
What are the biggest opportunities you see in marketing for electronic trading platforms, given all of that long-winded background I gave you?
So I think most people would probably expect me to say, you know, AI, right? But I feel like AI is probably the most completely overused, misunderstood, used incorrectly. Like, it's not new, and it's just something that's been evolving in its development and its application. So that's pretty much what I'm going to say about AI, right?
There you go. Well, you know, Shelley is one of my favorite people anywhere on Wall Street, and she is so smart and warm and, like, has a very, reasonable ego. And she cuts to the chase and gives very short, succinct answers, unlike us.
Fucking reasonable ego. That's a weird one.
Well, yeah. I didn't. She's
got a reasonable ego.
You know, she's not overly impressed with herself, as some of the people that we deal with on Wall Street sometimes are.
I won't mention
any names. I'm looking at you, Ronan.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm looking at you, Ronan.
So I have a question. Do you guys use AI? Do you use ChatGPT? Ever?
I have not.
No, I haven't either. I'm afraid of it. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with the bots. I'm afraid they'll replace me. Ren is going to try to replace me with a bot.
You're irreplaceable, Eric. Mm-hmm.
So we anticipated Ronan saying that. By the way, I'll tell you what mm-hmm. ChatGPT said about it, but not you specifically.
Oh, okay.
The marketing team.
Yeah.
Okay. But since you're always grilling us about monetization, we asked ChatGPT for some monetization ideas.
Oh, that's a great use of AI.
That's a great idea.
Maria. Wait.
Are you ready to hear what it said?
Yes.
It suggested trying affiliate marketing. Just wait. You'll love this example. During an episode discussing essential books for understanding the stock market, mention a book like Flash Boys. Michael Lewis. Oh, yeah.
That might not get us sponsored.
Yeah.
Provide an affiliate link to purchase the book on Amazon. Mention that to listeners can support the podcast by using the link to buy recommended books. So what do you think? Should we do this?
I think you should find a smarter bot. I just don't think that that's, I think that there's got to be a way to monetize this thing. But I think we need to dig deeper. What I think.
And if you ever decide to replace the marketing team, ChatGPT says getting rid of the entire team might be a bit extreme. AI can't.
I don't think they said that. That's Maria.
That's right.
AI can certainly enhance.
John's ChatGPT said, pay me more money because I live out in Quag.
Quag.
All right. Moving on to our last clip. Are you ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I can't wait.
Before we wrap it up, I wanted to end on a sweet note. For all the ribbing you guys give each other, which is what makes this show so great, there is a real friendship here and real respect between you two. No matter what you say, I can see it. I see it every day. I see it as I work with you. Here's a clip from an episode last year where you guys let your mask slip for a moment and talk about how much you appreciate and respect each other.
They made us do this.
One thing I actually do admire about Ronan is his ability to consistently treat people in the office with respect and courtesy, and to actually be helpful and a good mentor to a lot of people, notwithstanding whatever the stresses are. Now, again, he doesn't do that with me. I mean, I'm like the one person that does not apply to.
I need an outlet, man.
Yes. So he is absolutely wastes no opportunity to belittle or put me down. But for everybody else, for the most part, he treats them quite well and respectfully, no matter what.
I tell everybody behind his back that if John Ramsey wasn't at IEX, I wouldn't be at IEX. So probably part of the reason Kate put us together is he is a hilarious guy without knowing how hilarious he is, but he just makes me happy. And he has this way of self-deprecating himself, but, you know, I hope Jake removes this part. The guy is a fucking genius, and he actually works really hard, but doesn't take himself too serious. And I think we try to both not take ourselves too serious on this podcast, but humility is a massive box check for a friend in my book, and John definitely hits that.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that, and I'm going to hold on to this tape, and next bonus season, I'm going to
pull it out. No, I'm not paying you.
Okay, all right, thank you. Yeah. I'm just going
to. You get to do this podcast with me. You just said earlier on, this makes your job
all, that's all I need.
That was very nice, but I 100% mean it.
That's very, very
John Ramsey makes me happy.
Well,
He's a good guy.
Well, I appreciate that.
And besides the podcast, I enjoy it.
And I'm here to announce that I'm leaving IEX, and now you're going to have to leave too.
Jake, edit that. Wait. Will they pay us more?
Where are we going? Just kidding.
We're going to podcast land.
Liquidity.
Hank is hiring us.
Yes. So that's it, guys. Those are all the clips. I wanted to thank you both for having me join you and congratulate you on your 100th episode. And here's to another 100. I brought some champagne.
Oh, my God. We got some champagne.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise, we would never drink in the office.
No, ever. No.
Never, ever.
We're here to work.
It's just cheers to another 100.
Hey, JR, no one leaves here without nothing. What does Maria get?
Oh, we're going to give her a pair of fucking socks? There you go.
Yeah. See that, partner? I laid it up and he smacked it down. I think it's called an alley-oop.
Yeah, I think that's, yes, definitely so. Well, and I want to give a shout out to you, Maria, and everybody else on the team, Daisy, and to Elizabeth, and to Jake, for all the crap that we give him.
He leaves crying sometimes, but we love him.
You know, no, they're all terrific, and we couldn't do it without them.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless you, everyone.
Boxes and Lines over and out.
Goodbye.
Boxes and Lines is a podcast from IEX Exchange. It is hosted by Ronan Ryan and John Ramsey. Executive produced by Daisy Clace, with support from Benstown. For more information and to hear more episodes, go to iexexchange.io/podcast. Thank you for listening to Boxes and Lines. The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only, and IEX Group Incorporated and its affiliates do not make any representations or warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Nothing in this podcast constitutes a solicitation or offer to buy or sell any securities or provide any investment advice or service. Some portions of the preceding conversation may have been edited for length or clarity. Copyright IEX Group Incorporated, all rights reserved.